everyone, and welcome to this week's Stepping Stone. This is a space for us to go deeper and reflect on our conversation from earlier in the week with Stephanie Danler about her new memoir, Stray. I'm your host, Ingrid Nilsson, and I'm here with our producer, Christina Cleveland. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How's it going?
I think I'm in a better place than last Friday. How about you?
I feel really good. Look at us. Just both feeling like we're in a good place instead of being some, like, opposite version. So what is something that's in for you this week?
My first in is family recipes. My family group text has been a lot more active lately. Well, really, it's just me and my parents because my brothers never respond in the family group text. So really, it's me and my parents. But what we've been doing is my mom will share a recipe that she's made and photos of it. And then my dad, because he's in a different place, will cook it and share his version. And then I'll do the same. And whenever I cook a good recipe, I'll share it with them. And the three of us will separately cook the same meal. So I've just really enjoyed seeing, like, we're all eating the same meal, but in completely different parts of the country. It's just been really fun.
Oh, that's so cool. What have you guys made?
Well, most recently we made siopao, which is a Filipino dish that is Chinese inspired. You get them in dim sum. It's like the steamed pork buns, but this is a Filipino version of that. And so I've tried putting shiitake mushrooms as the filling, and the dough is really good. It's that, like, soft steamed dough that's just so good. And for my leftovers, I tried frying mine, which was, like, even better.
Oh my gosh. Wait, are you making the dough yourself?
Yeah.
OMG. I need to know how this is done because I want to make little pillowy, doughy, stuffed buns.
I'll send you the recipe. It's my mom's recipe. I'll send it to you.
Oh my gosh. Yay. I also have a steamer too. So I feel like that's what gives them that, like, just pillowy, perfect texture. Ugh. I wish I could live in one of those and then just eat my way out, you know?
That's what I'm doing in quarantine. I'm eating my way out.
Oh my gosh, totally. Yes, that is so accurate. Okay, so my first in this week is something I never thought I would be saying, at least right now, waking up earlier. I don't know if this is because the sun is coming up earlier and the days are longer, but I've just been naturally waking up earlier and getting up and starting my day earlier. And that has felt really nice because I just have a little bit more time in the morning to myself so I can journal a little bit more. I also started this course online, and every day there's a different length of work that you do. It could range from a 2-minute audio clip that you're listening to a 5-minute audio clip, and then you have an exercise that you have to do. And so I've been doing this every day in addition to my journaling and my regular morning routine. And so waking up earlier has actually been really great for this. It also makes me feel good too because I've committed to this 40-day course, and getting up early every day and making sure that I have time to do this course makes me feel really good. And it reminds me of what we were talking about with the weekly commitments. This is a smaller daily commitment, and I think it's been really good for me because I'm used to journaling at this point. But incorporating something that's a little bit different, that is focused on inner work, has felt really good. And I'm just getting, you know, little bite-sized nuggets every single day. And that feels really fulfilling. But the waking up earlier is just really changing how I feel. I'm tired at night and ready to go to bed around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And it just feels really nice.
Did you wake up earlier all of a sudden, or did you slowly work back your wake up time?
Well, I don't use an alarm. So I have just been waking up when I wake up, and it's usually been somewhere between 6, 10, and 7. And I sometimes will just stay in bed for a little bit, but then I'll get up. And it's just been really nice because, especially for the beginning of quarantine, I was just sleeping a little bit more. And I feel like as I talk to my friends, most of us were sleeping more. And so I was getting up somewhere between 8 and 8:30. So this feels really nice to have, you know, an extra hour of time.
I've actually, my goal by the end of this month is to be waking up earlier so that I can go sit in the park in the morning because it's just so crowded in the afternoon, especially after like 5 p.m. that I can't really relax when I'm in the park. So my goal is to go there early in the morning. So I've been working my wake up time back by like 10 minutes a day. And some days it's going pretty well. And then one day I'll just like go way past that. And then I have to work back again.
Yeah, I don't do well with alarms because when I have an alarm set and I know I have to get up and go somewhere in the morning, I basically freak out all night and wake up every few hours. And I know you do this too.
Yeah. It's true. I feel like every time we have, especially an early morning thing, we just see each other and we're like, did you sleep last night? Nope, me neither.
Yeah, we're both just zombies, so exhausted because we spent the entire night waking up and looking at the time like, oh my gosh, what time is it? Did I miss the alarm? How much time is left? It's just the eternal panic.
Okay, so my next in is I've been doing a sort of solo film festival. I didn't start out with this in mind, but I just watched one of Wes Anderson's movies. And then after that, I felt like watching another one the next weekend. So it has turned into I am watching all of Wes Anderson's films, and there are only 8, so there aren't really very many of them. But it's just, I think, a fun way to like see how his style has developed and changed over the years. And he's also someone who has such a unique perspective, so that's been fun to watch too.
All right, so my next in is Never Have I Ever. Erica and I have really been loving this show. Erica just is so into it. I really love it, but Erica has kind of just recently discovered Mindy Kaling, and I've been a fan of Mindy Kaling for just a very long time, and she is an executive producer of the show and maybe the creator of this show too, but definitely executive producer. And it is just such a delightful, heartwarming show. It made me really happy to see that it's so popular on Netflix because I feel like this is the teen show that I would have loved watching when I was younger. And the characters, even the ones that don't really show up a ton in the show, feel developed. Like you feel like there's a connection there and you kind of understand what their purpose is, which I really appreciate. And I love the group of friends. It's a show about friendship. It's a show about grief. It's a show about growing up. It's a show about navigating friendships and romantic relationships. And I think also navigating friendship while each of you are at different life points, going through different life things. We haven't finished it yet, but the main character, her dad died suddenly in a really traumatic way. And so I really related to that and just the way that she lashes out and kind of tries to suppress her grief. It's really helped me to explore my grief through an adult lens, but see it through a teenager acting it out because I always felt so much shame around how I responded to the way that my dad died. And now this is really helping me have more compassion for myself, seeing a teenager play this storyline out. And it's making me just feel my own experience in a different way, which is really powerful. And it's just funny and light and so much fun to watch. It just makes the teenager inside of me so happy.
So is Mindy Kaling in it?
No, she's not. But I feel like the dialogue in the show, I just hear Mindy Kaling's voice. When people speak in that show, Erica and I will look at each other and we'll just think, oh my gosh, this sounds like something that is coming directly from Mindy Kaling's mouth. Like, I could envision this on the Mindy Project 100%.
I love that when people have such a distinct voice. I feel that way about Shonda Rhimes after reading her book, Year of Yes. Her book was written in the same way that like the Grey's Anatomy characters speak and the Scandal characters, that really fast and repetitive way of speaking. Now I can just hear like everything is Shonda Rhimes and in her voice whenever I watch those shows. My next in is Receiving. It's because I started reading a new book for the Inner Work Book Club, and the book is called The Power of Receiving by Amanda Owen, and it's about how we're socialized to give, kind of give endlessly and bend over backwards to give our time and energy to other people, but we're never really taught how to receive. Part of that is noticing when you do receive how uncomfortable it can feel. And how sometimes we don't like to receive because maybe we resent having to receive. Maybe it makes us feel like now I'm going to have to return this in some way. It was something that I noticed actually listening to The Last Stepping Stone when I was editing it, listening back and hearing how uncomfortable I felt when you talked about people liking me being on the stepping stones and that you like what I have to offer. And I could just hear, it was like I was physically rejecting it. I was so uncomfortable in that moment. And so what this book recommends is receiving practice. The first step of receiving practice is to accept all compliments and to look for opportunities to thank people, people who are considerate of you, people who have given you kindness or kind words, and also to notice when you're uncomfortable with receiving a compliment and to still thank them for it anyway. It's kind of like the law of abundance is the idea that once you start doing this, you'll notice or you'll start receiving so much more in your life. So I really do feel like in the last week since I started this practice, I've been getting so many compliments from so many people. Like, you have complimented my work and my family has complimented things that I've done and people that I don't even know. I just feel like I'm getting all of these really kind words from all of these different places, and it seems to have really amplified this week.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Oh my gosh, it makes me so excited that you're receiving, because now I'm like, ooh, what am I going to give Christina?
And that's the point of the book, is that people like to give. There is a connection that happens for both the giver and the receiver, and it's not like this one-sided thing. So yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and I've definitely had the experience of being uncomfortable with receiving compliments. It was just maybe a couple weeks ago, Erica complimented me and I caught myself in this rebuttal response and then followed up with saying thank you, but noticed how uncomfortable I was with the compliment. And then I've also had the experience of trying to give to someone who is resistant, and it's hard. Like, it's hard for the person who doesn't want to receive. And it's also hard for the person trying to give to be rejected and to feel that rejection and then to try and find a place where you realize, okay, this isn't about me. There are other things at play here, but it's hard to get to that point because initially you just feel really deep rejection. And that has happened to me, and I've walked away thinking, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? Did I mess up here? Oh my gosh, because you naturally just go into yourself.
Yeah, without realizing that that person, yeah, just hasn't really learned how to receive. And the author, of course, gave a whole bunch of examples of this. And it's a lot harder for women to receive than it is for men. But now that I'm practicing it, I'm really noticing so much more. One of the things was I gave my mom a drawing for Mother's Day, And I really hadn't shown people my drawings yet, but I gave it to my mom. And then, of course, my mom posted it on Facebook, which she does with everything. She had so many comments on her Facebook post of family and family friends being like, this is so good. They really liked it. One person said that they thought it looked like a New Yorker illustration, which was my personal favorite compliment.
Oh my God, I'm like doing a dance for you.
Yeah, that one was really exciting. And then my aunt said that she liked the drawing better than the photo, which was really interesting because I was saying last week that I felt bad that I'm just recreating photos. And so to hear like, no, she thinks that this looks more alive than the photo did was a really interesting way to reframe it. And then someone on the One Step Instagram said that she knows a lot of designers and illustrators who trace images on an iPad to create their work. And yeah, I feel like I'm getting all of this positive words that are going a long way this week.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And I'm so excited about your drawing. I was talking to Erica about it and I was saying to her, you know, I really hope that Christina keeps going with this because there's something here. And it's just really cool to watch you step into that. All right. So my next in is related to receiving. It has to do with my New York Times piece. That was a lesson in receiving for sure. So one of the reasons why I chose the word celebrate as my word of the year, and I did wear my celebrate sweatshirt from Christina yesterday as a way to celebrate. One of the reasons why I chose celebrate is because I have had such a hard time receiving celebration, joy, compliments from people. And so that word is a reminder to me to celebrate the great moments that come my way. And this was a huge moment for me. I have always wanted a byline in the New York Times. And so it is real. It has happened. And it was incredible yesterday to turn on my phone and see all of these messages from friends and people that I know coming in. And it really reminded me of what Julia Cameron talks about in terms of creativity and support. She talks about, in the artist's way, this thing called before, during, and after friends. So friends that are there for you before something happens, during, and after. And I feel like I completely experienced this. And it was so cool to know who the people were who were there before, during, and after, and also to watch how it kind of changed too. So there were people who were there all the way through. There was also just a big burst in the after too. It gradually grew. So before it was a smaller group, during it was a small group, and then the after group got really big. And I told myself to just accept it all and receive it. And I just felt so full yesterday. And I got text messages from people I wasn't expecting to get messages from. It just touched me so much that they thought to reach out to me. And it made me just feel so seen and appreciated and supported. Everyone just was giving me love. And it felt like such a boost. I just felt really carried and held and supported and optimistic. And I was telling Erica, you know, it was such a big deal to get the work out there, but I'm not in control of what happens to it. And to me, it feels like a success because of the wave of support that I just got from people who are in my life. And that is what meant so much to me because I'm really not in control of anything else. I think it also helps too with the post-high depression that tends to happen with things that are really exciting and big moments. And then afterwards, like maybe a few days later or a week later, you kind of go into this really low. Having this support, I think, really helps to take that low up a few notches. So it's not quite as low.
Yeah, that's interesting because it does make me think about when I have been one of those friends and when I've been an after friend. And also times when maybe it's someone who I haven't spoken to in a really long time, or we're in different places now, but I see them do something that I admire. And I have questioned before, like, should I message them? Do they even want to hear from me? Like, will they care if I liked it? And then I did send the message. And in one scenario, they were like, who is this? I don't have this phone number. Like, it had been so long. But after we figured that out, they were so happy to hear that I had liked it. If anything, I'm learning, just always send the message. Just tell them what you're thinking, because it will feel good on the other side.
Yeah. And I feel like it comes back to you too in the moments where you really want it or need it. And, you know, I've had moments in my life where I didn't have before, during, and after friends. And I also wasn't being a good friend. So when big, significant things would happen, there wouldn't be any text messages in my phone. That, I think, is the huge difference. And it's not just, oh, great job. It's this big celebration. I think that is the thing that means so much, because it's coming from a genuine place of love. And it just feels so good to receive it. And so I'm definitely still gathering that up. It still feels like it's sinking in, and it's really, really special. And also really special to understand the importance of people who are there all the way through, and the people who are there for various sections.
And people who are there who you may not even know. Like, we've had so many messages coming in about people who've been watching your videos for years, haven't necessarily commented before, but that this video has really impacted them.
Yeah. And every time I read emails that say, you know, I've been watching your videos for a really long time, and people start sharing their stories with me, I mean, every time I'm sitting in front of my laptop just crying, because it feels like a before, during, and after friend. It is that experience, people being with you. And it's like you said, you don't always know that they're out there until they reveal themselves, and revealing yourself as a supporter is so powerful.
Okay, so my next in is a friend and I watched the first Monday in May last Saturday. It was the documentary about the Met Gala. She was in Texas and I was here, but as we were watching it, I told her, I just feel so schlubby watching this documentary of all documentaries in my sweats, like the beautiful gowns, and they're in the Met Museum, and I miss museums so much, and like getting dressed. So she said, should we pause this and go put on our most fabulous outfits? And so we both put on outfits that made us feel really good and watched the rest of the documentary wearing real clothes. And that was so much fun. And it wasn't about anyone else seeing them. It was just a fun way to like get dressed and use my closet again.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I feel like I'm starting to move into that after being in I'm wearing sweats all the time mode, because it was just colder and I wanted something comfortable. But it's hot today. Like, today is probably the first taste of summer where it's humid outside, it's warmer, and sweats just are not appealing. So I'm in this place where I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to be wearing, because I'm not going anywhere. So I want to be comfortable, but I'm also not going to be wearing my sweats either. So this is going to be a getting dressed journey, but I'm excited because I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to be creative and maybe do things that I wouldn't otherwise do if I felt like other people were going to see it.
The fact that it's been getting warmer has really helped quell my colorful sweatsuit cravings, because a few weeks ago, I just realized, like, it's going to be too hot to wear sweats soon. You can fully stop thinking about that now.
I know. And I just had a thought yesterday, you know, I love my Gray Blob sweats, and they have really served me this year, but I'm going to be happy to put them away and dip into some other sections of my wardrobe and play around. Okay, should we get into some outs?
Sure.
Okay, my main out is I'm trying to let go of my discomfort with my long hair. I feel like I keep toggling back and forth here. I like it, and then I'm like, oh, who am I when I look in the mirror? And what I've discovered after paying attention to my inner dialogue, that what is difficult for me with my long hair, especially as it's getting to this length, it's like on my chest now, and my hair has not been this long in a very long time. It reminds me of myself before I came out, and that is really hard. Those are hard feelings to sit in, and I think that's why when I look at my hair sometimes, I have that feeling of who am I? You know, I say it jokingly, but there is a feeling of, oh my gosh, I don't quite feel like myself. And it's because I've associated this long hair with pre-coming out in the closet, Ingrid, for a long time. When I understand that, I understand where these really strong feelings are coming from and this really strong hatred and discomfort. And so it's allowed me to just have more compassion for myself, knowing that it's all kind of stemming from this and that I'm not in that place anymore and that I've done so much work and that it is just my hair. And while it may not be my first choice of a hairstyle, there are things that I can do that make me feel more like myself, even in a moment where I can't cut it. And so I have enjoyed exploring, you know, fun hairstyles that I can do with longer hair that aren't necessarily trendy. And I really love being able to pull it back in a full ponytail and bun. I had a bun on top of my head the other day, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I haven't been able to do this with my hair in so long. And I actually really like this a lot. And so there have been those moments. And now I'm just kind of in this place of letting that discomfort go because I've acknowledged it. And now I'm just trying to loosen my grip.
Yeah. And the first step was understanding where it came from.
Yeah. And caring about how you look is often considered to be superficial, but there are deeper layers to it. You know, we do feel comfortable presenting ourselves in various ways that go beyond what other people are going to think of us. For me, my hair is very much connected to that, especially because after I came out, I like chopped my hair and was really experimenting with it. And that's how I discovered I like shorter hair. And so my hair is so much more than just my hair. It's just my hair, but then it's so much more. And it reminds me of this book that I just love that I read years ago called Me, My Hair, and I. That is an incredible book because it highlights how every woman has a story behind her hair. Like if you ask someone to tell you their life story, they don't know what to say. But if you ask them to tell you the story of their hair, they know exactly what that story is.
Yeah, there's such a parallel between a woman's acceptance of her hair and self-acceptance. It's a journey, and a lot of times it starts with hair and presentation. And in my experience, this is especially true for curly hair and textured hair.
Yeah. So I feel like I need to actually go back and read some of those stories. I was looking at it in my book stack the other day and thought to myself, this could actually be a really good thing for me to read again right now as I'm going through this current moment with my hair journey. Okay, what's out for you?
So my out is weird dreams. I told you right at the beginning of quarantine that I was having weird dreams, and they have just continued. It's been a common theme. And I actually heard a podcast this week. It was the Vox Explains podcast about the fact that so many people are having weird dreams right now. So they had on a social psychologist who actually runs a lab that studies dreams. And they were saying that it's very normal for people to experience weird and also just more vivid and intense dreams when they're going through, say, a traumatic event. And they've been studying the way different events have affected people's dreams. Like after 9/11, they cataloged and recorded all of the dreams that people were having, and they're doing the same thing now. So people are submitting the dreams. And I have had weird and intense dreams, but my dreams have not been related to COVID-19. But there are a lot of people out there who are having dreams, for example, like dreaming that they have all of the symptoms, or dreaming that they're being chased by bugs and the bugs represent the virus. And a lot of people are having bug dreams, which I thought was interesting, because that's like the closest thing that our mind can kind of connect to what the virus might look like if personified. But it just felt good to know I'm not the only one who's having weird dreams. And also, actually, what you said about sleeping more, that is another reason, they think, because you dream when you go into your REM cycle. And the longer you sleep, the longer and deeper your REM cycle gets. So if you're not getting a full night's sleep, you might not be getting into that long, deep REM cycle and having these kinds of dreams. But because most of us are sleeping more, we're having more vivid dreams and remembering them.
So what are your dreams like, if you want to share, or if you remember any of them?
Well, early on, I had a dream that my parents divorced, which was earth-shatteringly terrible. I keep dreaming about my ex, and I wish that would stop. I just wake up a lot of mornings like, what was going on there?
Yeah, I've had really strange dreams too, and I feel like mine have been like yours, where they're unrelated to what is going on, but they just feel really chaotic. And a lot of my dreams don't even involve people I know. Like, there will be random celebrities. Most recently, Taylor Swift was in my dream, and the setting was tropical.
That sounds like it could be a Taylor Swift music video.
I know.
Well, I was telling you I had a dream that included both Timothée Chalamet and Kate Menig, and it was like the best dream of my life, and I did not want it to end. Like, I remember when I woke up from that dream wishing that I had stayed asleep.
Oh my gosh. I wish that I could have joined you in that dream. When you told me about that, I was like, that is the dream combination for a dream. Brain, I could use some of that imagination. If you want to create that for me, that'd be great. All right, so let's talk about Stephanie's episode. What did you think of the conversation? What came up for you?
When she started talking about staying versus straying, that just really resonated with me in a deep way, and also wasn't a topic that we had really gone into that expecting.
I know. I really loved when she talked about that too, and really related to it. You know, I've even been practicing staying in the last week, with just staying with my feelings and my thoughts instead of trying to immediately change them, because I've learned really great tools. But what I've noticed recently is that I'm kind of trying to flip the switch a little too quickly. And so, you know, I might notice that there is some negative dialogue happening, and then I'm immediately trying to change it. But this week, I've really been trying to stay and just get to know it. I was going to share this in my ins, but it makes more sense now. I've been tracking my inner dialogue and just trying to get to know it. And the reason why I've been trying to get to know it is because of this. That I wrote this down because a teacher said this and I loved it. What is not observed and known will run your show unconsciously. And so I've had so many moments in my life where the show has been run unconsciously because I don't know what my inner dialogue is. And I thought at this point, oh, I know what my inner dialogue is, but staying with it this week has been a real lesson for me. Of course, there are things that have been there for a long time that I'm familiar with, but there's actually a lot that I'm not familiar with. And one thing that really came up for me this week is that my inner dialogue, my negative inner dialogue, gets extremely loud and very resistant the closer I get to a truth that hasn't been unpacked or explored or acted on. When I'm approaching a truth, I become really resistant and the inner dialogue becomes very, very loud and negative. And it's just, it feels like it's screaming at me, like I'm worthless and who do you think you are and what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. Get out of here. And so I found that to be really, really interesting. And I'm not forcing it to change either. And it really is a different experience to stay and to get to know it. I feel like I've learned so much. And I also just deeply relate to that show being run unconsciously. And so as I get to know this, I'm becoming more conscious in the decisions that I'm making and the steps that I'm taking in my life, which feels really powerful. Like I have agency over what's happening.
Can you easily find the boundary between staying so that you're aware of it and then dwelling?
Yeah, normally when I'm dwelling, I feel like the world is ending and that all hope is gone and that I am the most worthless person on the planet. So if it lasts for definitely more than a couple days, I've been stewing for a while. If there's really like no, not even a small shift happening, then I know that I'm just really gripping. I think also what's been happening with the negative inner dialogue is a lot of, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? It puts me in this place of feeling worthless and like life is happening to me and I have no control over it. And obviously there are things that are just out of our control, but there are things that I can take action around in my life. Inner dialogue is one of those. So now I'm learning how to switch that from how is this happening to me to how is this happening for me? That definitely has changed my perspective on a lot of things, even things that are really, really painful and hard. How is this happening for me has helped me look at things, I think, in a much healthier way. I have a specific example. This week, I was feeling really down about social media, and I have been losing followers across social media for the last few years, and it has been extremely painful. And so I was in this hole. I was in this really hard, just low point, which I had to feel. But there was also very much a, why is this happening to me? And so when I asked the question, how is this happening for me? Putting like all the tech things aside, like algorithms, whatever, reframing the question to how is this happening for me has made me look at the situation in this way, which is maybe this is a cleansing time where it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with these people who are leaving, but maybe what this is meant to do is to leave me with the people who are connecting with what I'm doing, really deeply connecting and allowing me to build from there. When I looked at it that way, it felt like a new beginning instead of, oh my God, this is the end. How is this happening for me instead of why is this happening to me? That has just been a huge shift from Monday to now. I feel like a totally different person.
I love that idea of it's a beginning instead of an end. I think that so often when I'm in a spiral like that, it's like, this is the end. No one will ever love me after this. And to think, oh, there's something that comes after this is so helpful.
Yeah. And then I can ask myself, what do I want to do with it? Who do I want to become because of it? How do I want this to shape me? Where do I want to go with it? Instead of asking myself questions where the answers aren't really answers that I want, I'm starting to ask myself questions where I really want those answers. And I do want these answers, you know, like, who do I want to become? How is this going to shape me? What do I want to do with this? These are all answers that I'm actually interested in. And I think that is a huge difference instead of spending my time in an answer that isn't serving me and that I don't really want, that I can't really do anything with.
I wrote something down similar that I heard in a meditation this week, and it was, the universe is for you, not against you. And I think that's one of those things, if you believe in God, it could be God is for you and not against you. But that is something that I've been thinking about more, because when you want to start something new, when you want to take a risk, do something you already fear that you're not good enough for, I think it's so easy to feel like you're up against everything. There are so many people doing these things. How will I ever make an impact? But if you just think the universe is for you and not against you, it just gives you kind of this feeling of a safety net.
Totally. And I remember reading Big Magic and Elizabeth Gilbert talking about that too. And she asked the question, what would your life be like if the universe was on your side? What would you do if the universe was on your side? And that really helps to shift the way that you approach things. And I feel like this is definitely similar to that. And it's also allowing me to have specific questions to work with. And so, you know, at the beginning of the week and over the weekend, I was feeling so down about social media and I felt like such a failure and so worthless. And now I'm really seeing it as a new beginning and an opportunity to be creative and build again and make again. And that's what I really love doing. I love that. And I believe this comes from Ayurvedic medicine, but there are three components to life, which are creation, maintenance, and then destruction, and that these things work in harmony with each other, and that even if you look at your own lifespan, there is a creation, there's a period of maintenance, and then you die. And so looking at it through this lens, I am seeing it as this breakdown period happening, but after that comes a creation. And I think that that just makes sense because I'm changing and my life has changed and I've gone through a really long period of a maintenance period where, you know, I created something, I've maintained it, and now things are changing and it's time for new things to be built. The podcast is one of those things. The newsletter that I'm working on, the shifts in my interests in terms of, you know, the YouTube videos that I have been wanting to make. Like, everything has naturally been going through these little shifts, but now I'm just accepting it more and I have language for it, which feels really powerful. All right, we have a special voice memo to share with you. This is actually the same person, Sammy Joe, who sent me a voice memo before telling me that I was doing a great job, which inspired one of my newsletters from a few weeks ago. And her words impacted me so much because they came at a time where that's just what I needed to hear. And I didn't even know it until I heard her say those words. So here she is.
Hi, Ingrid. The last time I sent a voice memo, I didn't realize how strong of an impact that was going to have on that day, that week. It just really showed me how just a little bit of positivity during this time can truly make people's days. And after fully realizing that, I have made an effort to do something positive for somebody else almost every day since then. And it's been really rewarding for me and for the people around me. I actually have a backstory to "You're doing a great job." It's from another podcast called Why Mommy Drinks. And there's these two moms who every week they talk about stuff that their children do. As somebody who does not have children and is not planning on having children anytime in the near future, it just really makes me laugh. And at the end of the episodes, they tell each other that they're doing a great job. And that is something that has really stuck with me. On a completely different note, I've really been loving you and Christina sharing your ins and outs with each other. It's something that I've found myself consciously doing during the week, is like thinking about things for myself that are in and out and then wanting to share that with my friends. And then they've started doing it too, and that just makes me really happy. Have a great weekend. And I once again want to remind you that you're doing a great job. Take care.
I just loved receiving this follow-up from her. It was just so cool to hear the backstory behind you're doing a great job. And I know that this is something that you started doing too, Christina, right?
Yeah, I've been trying to tell more people in my life, you're doing a great job. And pretty much 100% everyone loves to receive it. So we have a challenge for all of you this week. We would love it if you would tell someone in your life you're doing a great job. And if you hear this from someone else, make sure you say thank you and receive it, even if it's uncomfortable.
That is going to be it for our stepping stone today. Thank you so much to everyone who is out there listening. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, you can email us a voice note at onesteppodcast@gmail.com. All you have to do is use the Voice Memos app or the Voice Record app on your phone. Send us a voice note and you might just hear it here on the podcast. While you're here, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review One Step. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at One Step Podcast to stay up to date. Thank you so much to our producer, Christina Cleveland, our sound engineer and editor, Tung Chen, and of course, my studio, my closet in New York City. Take care, everyone. We'll talk soon.